There was big news this week for Kansas City Sprint Nextel Corporation. After months of deliberation, Sprint shareholders voted to give 78% of the corporation to the Japanese wireless communications company SoftBank. It was a $21 billion deal. With a combined customer base of 95 million subscribers, industry watchers say that together, Sprint and SoftBank will be better able to compete with Verizon and AT&T. But what will this deal mean to the Kansas City economy? And what can Sprint employees and wireless subscribers expect? To unpack the details of the Sprint-SoftBank deal, I caught up with Kansas City Star reporter Mark Davis.
We're talking about one of the largest employers in Kansas City. Sprint's been around for a very long time. Our economy even sort of ebbs and flows with Sprint. They're such a big employer. A lot of the jobs they have are very good jobs. They're well-paying jobs. These are talented people who could find jobs in other industries, in other cities. And Sprint built what it has here by attracting people to Kansas City, and that builds our economy for all of us. So whether you work at Sprint or not, you probably know somebody who works at Sprint, or you work with someone who might end up working at Sprint, because SoftBank is this company in Japan that has decided to step up and help Sprint kind of get back into the game in its business, which is wireless phone company service.
Now, everybody's careful not to call this a merger. Why is that?
Well, because it isn't. And Kansas City's had a long history of homegrown businesses disappearing into mergers. Sprint's going to still be there as Sprint, a separate company from the one in Japan called SoftBank Corp. SoftBank's going to own most of Sprint's stock, but a big chunk of the stock, about 23%, will continue to trade on the stock market. You can still go out and buy Sprint shares. If you're a stockholder, you're still going to own some Sprint shares. The headquarters is expected to stay here in Overland Park. The CEO, Dan Hesse, is going to remain the CEO of the company. It'll have a different board of directors, and SoftBank, as the big stockholder now, will have a large say in who's on that board and how Sprint goes about that business of competing against its bigger competitors, Verizon and AT&T. And T-Mobile, which is more like Sprint, sort of trying to compete against the larger companies.
You know, and I'm wondering, this is the Midwest, and I know that there are some people who have perspectives about, you know, foreign investors taking over American companies and that sort of thing. Was there any heartburn among shareholders about that point?
I don't think shareholders had a concern about that. The wireless communications industry has a lot of foreign ownership already. T-Mobile is largely owned by Deutsche Telekom, the German company. Verizon is about 45% owned by a British company called Vodafone. So for Sprint to be largely owned and controlled by a Japanese company is nothing new in that industry.
The question that's on everybody's mind, I'm sure, is what impact will all of this have in Kansas City? For example, what about the jobs? Will they remain in Kansas City?
The expectation is that there won't be cutbacks. You really don't know because they don't talk about that stuff much. And part of it is they themselves are still figuring a lot of those things out. 9 months have passed since they first announced this deal, so they've been together talking, SoftBank and Sprint, talking about how they're going to do this. So they've got a much better picture of that. SoftBank is the number three wireless phone company in Japan, the way Sprint is here. But SoftBank doesn't have employees in the United States. It doesn't have a network. It doesn't have, you know, call centers when you have a problem. None of that exists. So it doesn't have to go through all of that and say we have too many of this and too many of those and lay people off. They don't do that. They won't need to do that. The real question is whether or not Sprint would grow as a company. Their mission here is to attract more subscribers. Their mission is to become a bigger and better player in that industry, and that would mean more jobs at some point. Whether those are here or someplace else, we'll have to wait and find out.
One of the possible positive outcomes of this is a faster network, I'm told. Now, Sprint has marketed itself as having a fast network, but apparently not fast enough, according to some of the independent tests. How will this change now?
Well, Sprint's been working on that before the SoftBank deal. SoftBank gives Sprint more resources to do that quicker, and it also brings some expertise having done that itself in Japan. The faster network we're talking about is using technology called LTE. You'll see LTE in all the advertising for all the carriers because that's the faster, newer technology that uses very recent technology. If you think about Sprint, they at one time were advertising themselves as the first 4G company. And that was a different technology. It was around, it was called WiMAX. And WiMAX is now a slower 4G technology, and LTE is faster. And so the problem for Sprint right now is that it really hasn't had the resources to build out LTE everywhere and as completely as Verizon has or as AT&T is doing. And so these companies that do these tests, these speed tests on LTE, show that Sprint, while it's showing some LTE coverage, it's not quick.
Now, business leaders seem to be pretty happy about this new arrangement for Sprint. What do you think they're looking at in terms of economic benefit for Kansas City?
You know, I think the sigh of relief that we've reported was not so much about what Sprint's doing, but what might have happened instead. There was another company, Dish Network, the satellite television company, that wanted to buy Sprint. Its plan was very different than the one that SoftBank has. SoftBank says, here's a bunch of money, here's some help, let's do what you're doing. Dish Network wanted to merge that satellite TV company with Dish's wireless telephone company. There were duplications. They both have subscribers and those call centers that help customers that have difficulties and things like that. There is a headquarters in Colorado. There's a lot of duplication. And that deal was pitched as having a lot of cost savings. They were going to save something like $37 billion over the merger of those two companies. And you just have to think that's a lot of jobs. It also would have meant probably the moving of Sprint's headquarters to Colorado, where Dish is, because Dish is clearly the one buying Sprint in that case. And that was a real merger, which is why the SoftBank deal gave Kansas City this sense that we've held on to what we have, and with now the resources that more can come from Sprint.
Now, you were talking about the cost-saving scenario in the Dish scenario, but I know Dan Hesse is talking about, you know, we'll be more profitable. How can that be if you have to build out a network and also spend marketing dollars to retain and go after new customers?
Well, this is sort of the Sprint story so far. They did spend a bunch of money in the past to build a network. The customers didn't come. The problem is you've got to put up that money up front. You've got to build the system. You've got to advertise to get those customers. And if they don't show up, you've spent all that money, and you're not going to be profitable. So there's no guarantee that spending all of this money makes this company profitable. It has to result in them getting those customers, building that subscriber base, making some other adjustments on cost savings and things because it's paired up with another telephone company now, and then hopefully seeing those profits come about.
Now, for the most part, this is being seen as a win-win kind of a situation for Sprint. But are there any downsides that people aren't looking at, talking about?
Well, for shareholders, particularly SoftBank, there's the risk that you're putting a bunch of money at work and it doesn't pay off, that you don't win that competition for new subscribers, you don't get that network. Well, I don't think there's probably any concern about getting the network in a competitive position. It's then getting people to switch networks. Again, that old problem of, you know, if I'm happy where I am, it's hard to move me. And so Sprint's got that burden to make all that investment pay off.
So some would ask, what was in it for SoftBank?
SoftBank is a Japanese company that bought the number three carrier in Japan. That carrier was not doing well, and SoftBank has sort of turned that around. It wants to do that now with Sprint. The advantage for SoftBank is now it's a bigger company once this deal finishes, and it can compete alongside AT&T and Verizon because it's just as big as them now.
There's a lot of examples where partnerships and mergers don't quite work because there's a lack of an organizational fit or not a good chemistry between the partners. What are we predicting here? Is there a goodness of fit between SoftBank and Sprint?
You know, we can look at that two ways. Dan Hesse knows Masayoshi Son, who's the CEO and founder of SoftBank. They worked together some time ago, so they knew each other before all this. The two companies have been working together for 9 months now because they announced this deal in October and are about to wrap it up next month, but they haven't waited for that. They've been working together, and so they've had a lot of time to sort of figure each other out. We don't know how well they're fitting, and we'll have to wait and see, but The idea that this isn't a merger is important there, because we're not trying to get two separate companies to sort of become one. We've seen that become a problem in Kansas City. Yellow Freight, the YRC company, the trucking company, merged with a couple other trucking companies nationally, and those trucking mergers did not work. That company went through a major restructuring, really trying to avoid bankruptcy because it didn't come together as it was supposed to. It's now doing that under the YRC brand, and it's starting to get a lot of attention for having sort of overcome that problem of a merger that didn't work out right.
To the average Sprint customer, what will this partnership mean? What will Sprint customers begin to see?
You know, again, it comes back to that use of the cell phone, the device itself. If you're a Sprint customer right now, statistically, you're as happy as an AT&T customer or a Verizon customer. That's what these surveys, J.D. Power Associates do these surveys of consumers, and Sprint ranks right up there with those companies. A few years ago, it was in the doghouse. It was shedding customers, you know, millions at a time, and Sprint has sort of stopped that flow. Dan Hesse's crew has done that. It's taken them 4 years to do that, but they've done that. The next step is really the battle over those existing customers. And it's, you know, there aren't a lot of new cell phone customers to go out and get, because pretty much everybody has one. And now the battle is who's going to get and keep the ones they have or take them away from somebody else. And Sprint's kind of in that game, but it's the third place team. And it's got to find a way to get people to jump off those other networks onto its network.
Well, Mark Davis, thank you for being with us on KC Currents.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
Mark Davis is a reporter for the Kansas City Star. As far as the immediate future, the Sprint SoftBank partners expect final approval from the Federal Communications Commission at any time now.
Coming up, what the closure of a local school means for other charter schools. You're listening to KC Currents.